reading from Luke chapter 2 and verse 8. This is what the word says. And in that same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he is with whom he is well pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And when all heard it, and all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Let us pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for this account that has been recorded for us and has been preserved for our reading today. Lord, we pray that you would remove the familiarity of the text from us. Lord, that any ideas that we are coming to with the text, Lord, may they be removed. And may it be as though we are seeing this for the first time with fresh eyes, with a fresh heart. Lord, may you speak to us today. And may our hearts be open to what you want us to do today. In Jesus' name, amen. So as I say, a very familiar text for us. And I'm sure we've seen it before, the nativity play. And we've seen the shepherds with the sheep. And then there is an angel that appears with some wings and a feathery halo of some type, and saying the good news and peace to everybody. I'm sure we're very familiar with the text. And that's why in my prayer, it was that God would somehow allow us to be able to see this with fresh eyes for the first time, as though for us to imagine that we're reading this for the first time. And I want you, just for the moment, in your mind, to take yourself to that same region, to the fields around Bethlehem, to think that this is during the night, the peace of the night, no light pollution in the sky, so the stars are filling the sky. Perhaps just the odd insect can be heard disturbing the silence. As shepherds, perhaps there is a little conversation, perhaps about family, about friends, whatever it may be, that they in which they are just going about their ordinary daily life. And then suddenly, an angel appears to them. An angel of the Lord appeared to them. But not just that. We also find, what do we also see? The glory of the Lord shone around them. Now, quite often when we hear this idea of glory shining around, that word shining often makes us think that this is just about light. That somehow that there was a light around. And that may be the case. It may be the case there. But whenever we see the term about the glory of the Lord, it makes me remember about the temple. The temple which was filled with the glory of the Lord, which was almost like a thick fog that is often referred to, or the fire that led the people out of Egypt. It's this idea that there is somehow a presence, a sense of God's almightiness that is within a particular place. Now, the high priest, whenever he would want to go into the Holy of Holies, he could only do it once a year, because it was understood that the glory of the Lord in that place was so powerful that he could only, after great preparation, be able to go into that place. Such was the glory of God. But now we're coming to a period of time, in this New Testament time, during the New Covenant, where the glory of the Lord is not placed within one place any longer. It is not within the four walls of a building of the temple. It is for the whole world. The glory of the Lord is going to be shown throughout the whole world. Indeed, we are testament to that. That is part of our testimony, that the glory of the Lord is not limited to a particular region or to a particular building, but is for the whole world. And indeed, throughout the whole world, even today, people are recognizing the glory of the Lord that does shine around them, that the darkness of their life disappears because of the light of God. Now we see here the natural reaction of the shepherds. They were filled, not with the glory of God. They were not filled with hope or peace. What were they filled with? Fear. Now, for those of us who have, I'm sure that for those of us who have studied the text before and have studied Scripture, we may recognize that there are different kinds of fear. And that there is an earthly fear, and there is a fear of God. What the shepherds are experiencing here is an earthly fear. That is to be afraid, to be worried, to be concerned about the things that are happening. Indeed, an angel has appeared to them. Quite often throughout Scripture, whenever an angel would appear, it would mean that you were about to die. And so there is concern from some people that whenever an angel appears, they are filled with fear, because now they think, I am about to die, my life is about to be ended. Rather, they should have hoped for a godly fear. And when we read within Scripture the godly fear, we might remember places in the Proverbs, places like Proverbs 9 verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's not a fear that is to say a being afraid, but it is to recognize our position before God, to recognize his reverence. That when we come before God, we recognize our position, that we are sinners before an almighty God, that we, however perfect we may try to live our lives, however good we may try to live our lives, we recognize that when we are before God, we are sinners. He is holy. We are not. I wonder whether this perhaps even could be what the shepherds were experiencing. That with the glory of the Lord around them, they recognize their state, that they are sinners. Even if they went to the synagogue every Sabbath, even if they tried to keep the law as much as they could, they recognize that when the glory of the Lord is before them, they recognize, I am a sinner. I am a sinner before an almighty, holy God. The angel tries to give them peace. Fear not. And that's evidence that they were not experiencing the reverence of God, because otherwise they would have said, fear all the more, the Lord God. We see, fear not. Don't be afraid. Why? Because I bring you good news of great joy, and not just for you, not just for the shepherds, but for all people. And then we find in verse 11 this wonderful phrase, for unto you is born this day. Now immediately when I read those words, it reminds me of Isaiah chapter 9, which tells us, remember, for unto us a child is born, for unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be Wonderful God, Mighty Counselor, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So we find here that when this is said, it reminds me of what has already been prophesied in history. That when we see, "For unto you is born this day," there was a time when Isaiah, hundreds of years before this event, was prophesying in the Holy Spirit of what was going to happen. "For unto us a child is born." And here in Luke, we see it being fulfilled. That unto us, unto you, this very day is born in the city of David, just as was prophesied, who? A Saviour, who is Christ the Lord, the Messiah, who was prophesied in Isaiah, in Jeremiah, even all the way back from Genesis even. We can see throughout the whole of the prophecies that the Messiah was coming, and now he is here. Well, great excitement, I can imagine, from the shepherds. "Why have you come to us even for this? Why have you come to us?" And of course, then what the angel then says to them is that they are going to go. They are going to go to the city of David, and that there will be a sign. Now, at first glance, we might look at this sign and we think that parts of it are very ordinary. What are you going to find? A baby. Well, that's very ordinary, really, isn't it, really, to find a baby? And what else are we going to find? A baby, yes, wrapped in swaddling cloths. Well, again, that's somewhat ordinary, really. I mean, if you go and see a new child, again, they may be wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger. Ah, now, here's something different. Here is something that we didn't expect. And so now, with the shepherds, the glory of the Lord around them, the angel showing them and explaining to them what that sign will be, the baby that is wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. Perhaps now at this point, they're starting to feel a little bit more peaceful about the situation. The angel, yes, they have recognized the glory of the Lord. Yes, they recognize the angel is there speaking to them. But perhaps they're starting to get a little bit comfortable with this. And they're starting to think, perhaps, well, yes, perhaps we'll go. And, well, where would you find a manger? Well, perhaps then in a stable somewhere. So perhaps we need to go somewhere where there would be a stable in order for there to be a manger. So they're perhaps starting to think about the process of how this may be. And indeed, this is how I would be if I was in this situation. Perhaps they're starting to get used to the idea of this angel being in front of them. And then, verse 13, "Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased.'" So any comfort that they may have got, any comfort that they may have had, any opportunity to get used to the situation that they found themselves in is now gone once more. That there is no longer just one angel, there is a multitude of the heavenly host praising God with almost that very familiar refrain, that idea of "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with his glory." Once again, a reference back to Isaiah. What do we see here? Glory to God in the highest. Glory to God alone in the highest. And also, on earth, peace. Peace among those with whom he is pleased. Throughout the world today, peace is something that is often proclaimed. And throughout history, peace has often been promised when it cannot truly be guaranteed. Within the Roman world, there was this idea of pax, the idea of peace, that the Roman Empire, because of its size, because of its military, would be able to maintain peace and order. Ultimately, that did not keep true. There is an old Latin phrase even that says, "If you want peace, prepare for war." That was the kind of peace that the Romans were offering. That if you want peace, you better be prepared for war. Because even if you think that there is going to be peace, an earthly kind of peace, ultimately war is coming. Throughout history, there have been what has sometimes been referred to as the biggest army diplomacy. The idea that if you want peace for your nation, you make sure that you have the biggest army, the strongest army. A friend of mine who used to be in the Navy, he called it the biggest stick diplomacy. The idea being that we have the biggest stick, and if you want to mess with us, we're going to use our stick against you. That is the kind of peace that the world tries to offer. And sometimes we might find a wonderful leader, a leader who is heralded and hailed by some people and promises peace, but they're not able to guarantee it. Perhaps the most famous example of this is in 1938, when Neville Chamberlain, after a meeting with Adolf Hitler, steps off a plane and waves a white piece of paper and promises peace for our time. Within a year, the continent, and indeed the world, was thrown into war. No nation and no leader can guarantee peace. There is almost this permanent tension within our world where we may think that we have peace, and yet there is also the increased likelihood of war. It may be that there is certain peace within that nations don't go to war against other nations, but then you find that there are other groups and individuals that don't want to maintain the peace. And through either individual acts or group acts, they will create disorder, they will create chaos, and peace will disappear. No nation and no leader can guarantee peace except for God. Only He can guarantee peace. Why? Because He is peace. He doesn't just give us peace. It is not just something that He is able to give, and it is something of His very character. And in everything that God does, He is perfect. He is perfect in His love, He is perfect in His justice, and He is also perfect in His peace. Jesus, as we've already mentioned in Isaiah chapter 9, one of the titles that is given to Him is the Prince of Peace. No earthly leader can promise peace, and yet Jesus can, because He is peace, the Prince of Peace. This is the reason why the heavenly host is able to proclaim, on earth there will be peace. And there will be peace to whom? Among those with whom God is pleased. Indeed, the world may be filled with fear. It may be the earth may not know peace at all. But for those of us who love God, for those of us with whom He is pleased, that is us, we may know a peace, and we may not understand it. And people who observe us may not understand it either. Remembering what was read earlier when we lit the Advent candle, to remember that there is a peace that surpasses all understanding. Remember where Paul was during those times where he's writing his letters, often in prison, bound in chains, even in Rome. There are times even in Philippians chapter 1 where he talks about the idea that he may even die, that he doesn't know which way it's going to go. He may die or he may live. Either way, he knows that God will be glorified and that he is still filled with peace. If he remains on earth, there is work to be done. If he dies on earth, then where is he? He's in heaven with Jesus. And that's the reason why he's able to have peace. It's also the reason why, as Christians, we're able to use the phrase that they died peacefully, that they passed away peacefully, because we know where they have gone. We know where those who have gone before us have gone, that they are not just simply dead, but because of the good news of Jesus, because of his death and resurrection, that there is life for those who know Jesus, and that we will be united with him in heaven. That is the reason why we are able to have peace. It's the reason why, when we hear of the martyrs around the world, often, even throughout the most troubling circumstances of being arrested, of being tortured, even being killed for their faith, we hear things like, from the people that are around them, that they seemed to be at peace, even knowing what was happening before them. The world cannot offer us peace, but Jesus can. It is at this moment then that when the angels leave, they go to heaven, the shepherds rightfully have a choice. They can either say, well, that was eventful, wasn't it? And go back to simply looking after the sheep. Or they can go. And they can go to Bethlehem to discover whether or not, and find evidence of, what was told to them. And that is exactly what they did. They left the fields, went to Bethlehem, and saw the thing that had happened. The Lord had made known to them what had happened, and they discovered it. They went with haste. They ran. They didn't just go slowly. They ran, found Mary and Joseph, and the baby lying in the manger, just as had been told. Now remember when I said earlier about that Luke wanted to create an orderly account, and the evidence of that is here. That when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told of them concerning the child. They passed on the information. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. Now that may be that there were some who may have doubted, who thought, well, this seems like such a miraculous thing. It seems odd to us even that this would have happened. Others may have wondered with the glory of God, understanding that what had happened was part of God's incredible plan. And here is the evidence of the orderly account. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. That is to say that later, when Luke is creating his orderly account, he went to people, and there is evidence to show people like Mary, and asked them, what was the experience? What was it like during those times? That's the reason why we have this account here for us. It's the reason why we have other accounts of Jesus' life as well. Mary treasured up these things and pondered them in her heart. May that be like us today. May that be like us. That where there are things that are happening around the world, that when we read scripture regarding peace, that we're not filled with an earthly fear, we are filled with the reverence of God, that we recognize the glory of God, and that we treasure up within us those things. We ponder the work of God in our own hearts. And notice then the reaction of the shepherds after they have seen this thing and they've passed on the information. What do? They return back to the fields. But not simply return. How do they return? Glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. Again, may that be our reaction. That when we know that God is working through us and in us and around us, that we are able to go back to our communities, to our homes, to our families, glorifying and praising God. Now, it may be that there are circumstances of our own life. It may be that Christmas time for us is a very difficult time. It may be that we do not have peace. May we come to Christ. May we come to God and know that He is our Prince of Peace. There is the Hebrew greeting, which is still said today, which is Shalom. And Shalom is often loosely translated as peace, but it goes much beyond that. Much like many words in other languages, when you translate them, they actually mean more than the single word that they're often used for. That it often refers to, yes, of peace, but also harmony, of wholeness, of completeness, of prosperity, of good welfare, of tranquility. Something that affects the whole of our lives. May there be a shalom within our lives, the peace of God through us. When we also think then of other passages throughout Scripture, We might also think then of Micah chapter 5, verses 4 to 5, which says this. This is speaking of the good shepherd. And he shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall dwell secure. For now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be their peace. Our great shepherd, Jesus, who shepherds us, his flock, will look after us, and he will do so in the majesty, in the name of the Lord our God, that we shall dwell secure, even though things around the world may be happening. And we shall do so, why? Because he is our peace. And so, my friends, as we come toward the end of our word today, I want us also to remember what we read in Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And I would like us to pray for two groups briefly. The first group, for people who have not had peace, because you have never recognized that you are reconciled to God. But my friends, I would urge you that is today. That you have never recognized your position before Jesus. That you've just perhaps walked through life, perhaps you've even come to church before, you've tried reading the scripture, you've tried praying, but you do not have peace with God. I urge you today, my friends, to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour. What better time to have peace with God than today, than during this time around Christmas? And so, is there one here today that will accept Jesus as their Lord and Saviour today for the first time? If that is you, would you just get my attention, just a simple raise of your hand? Praise God. And then there is the second group that I would like us to pray for. And we also prayed for healing earlier. But I also recognize that there are some people perhaps here today who do not have peace. There is perhaps no peace of your body. Perhaps no peace of your mind. Perhaps no peace of your heart. You are faithful and you are part of Jesus' flock. He is your shepherd, but yet still there are things around you, circumstances around you, in which you do not have peace. If that is you, I would like you to stand where you are, just as a simple symbol that you are saying to God, I would like peace. So if that is you, would you stand? That you are saying, I want, Lord God, I want peace of body, peace of my mind, peace of heart today. Is there anyone? Praise God. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your peace. That peace which surpasses all understanding. Lord God, I pray for those who are standing now, who under whatever circumstances feel as though they do not have peace, whether it be a peace of body, peace of mind, a peace of heart. Lord God, I pray that you, the great Prince of Peace, would guard their hearts and their minds in you, Lord God. I pray, Lord, that whatever circumstances they are facing, yes, you will give them wisdom in how to respond. You will give them clarity of thought, but Lord, all the more, may you give them peace. Lord, may what they are facing be part of their testimony, and that people around them, as they observe them, may people around them be able to say, how come that they have such peace? I know what they're going through, and yet they have such peace. Lord God, I pray that they would be able to give witness to you, and that the glory would go back to you. For the rest of us, let us stand together. Lord God, we thank you for today. We thank you that we've been able to worship you in spirit and in truth, to be able to receive communion together, to remember and proclaim what Jesus has done for us, his death and resurrection on the cross. We thank you, Lord God, that we are able to pray to you, not emptily into the space, hoping that you hear us, but Lord God, I thank you that you do hear us and you answer us. And Lord, I thank you for your word that we have read today. I thank you for the account of the shepherds that has been passed down for us. Lord God, may we be filled with peace. May we be people of peace. And Lord God, may we not put our trust in a leader. May we not put our trust in an army or a military power. Lord God, though, may we put our trust in you, that you alone are our peace, that you alone can give us peace, peace of our whole body and our mind and every part of our life. And as is written, rejoice in the Lord always. Again I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. When you have learned and received and heard and seen what you have received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. Amen.
Praise God. Praise God. So we've been reminded then that the peace of God is comes because God himself is peace. If again